You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, episode 216, also known as part two of the Saber grades. And in this episode, we'll have defense, goalies, coaches, and management. Kevin Adams' job and how he's been doing. So let's start with the defense. All right, so we'll work our way up here from the, I don't want to say bottom, but I mean, I guess, you know, the priority chain, no offense if you're listening.
Sure.
Cale Clegg, been impressed with him, by the way. I know you're doing the grades, and I'm going to agree or disagree, but I've been impressed with Clegg for the time that he's been put in. I mean, like come on. I'm not saying I'm not saying he's earned a spot here going forward. I'm just saying, you know what? He's a good hockey player.
Yes. Very capable of playing in this league. He's kind of like the bubble guy. You know, he could easily play every single night. Like he's got the skill set, the mindset, the skating ability. Like he did a really nice job when, you know, Henry Jokiharju was out, and there was a point Ilya Labushkin was out and Samuelson was out, and Cale Clegg stepped in, which is what's expected of him. Okay.
Hold down the fort.
And he did that. Like,
we're not looking for him to take jobs from Dahlin or Samuelson or Power, or, you know,
he played really, really well with Power. Because he thinks a high level game, and he's a nice defenseman. He's a really nice
man. Like, what do you expect?
That's why they put Casey Fitzgerald on waivers, is because Cale Clegg solidified himself as that guy who's going to be the next man up guy. And he's done a really nice job. So,
Western Canadian kid, not surprised. God, I love the Western boys, man. I love the guys from out west. Okay. Moving up. Let's see.
I didn't give him a ranking. I don't want to give him a ranking. He played 21 games. He played really well.
Give him a B. I think
I'll give him a C plus then.
Oh,
I'm not giving B's sakes out to a guy that has zero
step
goals.
In and do their fucking role, hold down the fort, play well with a number one overall pick. That's worthy of a goddamn.
I'm gonna give him a C plus.
Oh my, there you go. God. Sorry, fucking underperformed. Jesus. Jacob Bryson.
Jacob, on most nights, you don't see him very much, which is very good for most defensemen. Very good. If you're not seeing that player at the end of the night as a defenseman and your team wins, then you chalk yourself up as a good grade. He's had a couple hiccups this year in a few games, but for the most part, his game is his skating. His skating, puck moving ability, be able to jump up in the play. He's defensively responsible. He's a solid NHL defenseman. I'm going to give him a C. He's done a nice job this year. A few hiccups in a few games, but listen, I mean, he's a defenseman. We all had it.
All right. Okay. You're the defenseman. I'll take your word on that.
You like or you don't like?
I had higher hopes for him. I know he's on the smaller side, but that doesn't bother me. I mean, one of my favorite defensemen to ever watch fucking all time was Torrey Krug. I loved him as a player.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that this guy has to go out and beat Torrey Krug, but I just, the nothing to do with size. I think his weaknesses have been exposed. You know, you look at
some nights.
Some nights. Well, that's where I'm going with this, right? And I don't want to be harsh, but he's making $1.85 million this year and next. So, I mean, I guess, but, you know, Dahlin plus 19, Owen Power plus 12.
Okay, where are you going with that?
Labushkin, even Jokiharju plus 2, Samuelson plus 10, Fitzgerald, Pilot, 4-1, respectively. Kyle Clegg played 21 games. He's even. You know, fuck, Jeremy Davies stepped in.
Make your point.
He's minus 17.
Minus 17.
In 42 games.
In 42 games.
So
what are you giving him? Giving him a D?
Well, how do you give him a, how do you give him a, what'd you say, a C minus?
I gave him a C.
Okay. Well, then fine. I'll give him a C. I just, you know, I'm sorry, but I expected more. And maybe he has more to give. Maybe he just has had a tough first half of the season. Maybe he's had an injury. I don't know. I factor all this in when I say something because people don't know what's going on behind closed doors in the locker room personally or anything. And I'm not chalking it up to that. Could just be the fact that he's having a shit season or bad luck defensively or the puck's going in when he's on the ice. I don't know. Plus minus is a fucking terrible stat. But when you're that much on the other side of it from the rest of your defense core, that raises red flags.
Yeah. Okay?
Especially after the years they've had. And now all of a sudden, all these guys are in the pluses. Okay, moving on. Henry Yoki, how are you?
He's been solid. You know, he plays a solid game. He's, you know, he's the typical Finn. The Finns all play the game smart. They play it defensively responsible. Yoki Haru skates well. He moves the puck well. You know, not an overly large offensive upside, I think, for him. I think what you're seeing is what you're getting. 25-point guy, maybe, that can probably play in your top four. I again would give him probably a C.
Yeah, kind of. I think he's been solid, but I know he has been hurt though.
Yes, he has.
He's missed game due to injuries. So you know, who knows what they're dealing with there moving forward. But as you mentioned, everyone's hurt this time of year. Ilya Lyubushkin, have you been happy with that signing? I know we were very excited about that signing before the Sabres ever even signed him in free agency when he was a Leaf. You had said it would be amazing to bring this guy in. Has he lived up to expectations?
Well, listen, I mean, when we played against him and he was with Toronto, why did you notice him?
It was so physical.
And he was just a
he can move
jerk
the puck.
Off.
Yeah.
He just played like a shithead all the time. Every single time the whistle blew, he's shoving somebody. He's getting in a little bit of a scrap. I don't think he's a fighter at all, or he would have fought already. He's not a fighter. He's just an irritator. I expected, and maybe this was asking far too much for him, of him, is I wanted Rakko Gudas. I wanted a version of Rakko Gudas from the Florida Panthers, a guy that is literally going to hit people somewhat cleanly to hurt people. Like, be seek and destroy every time you're on the ice. You got a guy skating down through the middle of the ice or whatever with his head down. You're going to try and murder him. That's it. You're going to play a game on the edge every single shift. It makes all of the players that Rakko Gudas plays against, they are on edge. They do not play a clean game because their head is up so much because they know he's seeking to destroy. And I thought what we were getting a little bit more of that from Lyubushkin, and we have not seen it.
Well, we have not seen it since he absolutely blew up Draisaitl behind the net in Edmonton and then caught somebody along the boards and absolutely blew him up in the same game in Edmonton at center ice. He has not been the same player. In fact, he missed time after. So if he has an injury that was caused by a hit and he's a hitter, then odds are it's taking away from his game immensely. So he's probably not healthy because he can't play his game. You know this better than anybody. You know, like if you like to hit with your left shoulder and you're a hitter and you have a separated shoulder or a dislocated shoulder or a fucking whatever, you're screwed.
Listen, I played a full season with a straitjacket on so my shoulder wouldn't pop out. I couldn't do the things that I wanted to do. And
I played half a season in the American League with the same jacket, the thing where you buckle it underneath and you have to, you can't only lift your arm up a certain height.
I couldn't lift my arm parallel to my shoulder. So
I fucking fought three times with that thing on.
Exactly. It was very difficult to fight with.
And I got beat up three times with that thing on.
I had to grab with low. The shoulder that was popping out. And people don't know this. That's why when you and I do these rankings, you're always wondering if you're throwing a guy under the bus because he's dealing with something that we just don't know anything about. And that bothers me because I think that a lot of these players, you know, are honorable guys that will do anything for their teammates and play through pain and discomfort. And
certainly, you know, none of this is due to effort.
Like,
okay?
Mutt bags, like at home, friggin' given rankings to guys that we don't know if they're actually hurt or not. We're giving rankings to players that what we see, but we don't know.
It's better us do the grades than someone who never played the game. Where are we at? Owen Power.
Skid's a friggin' stud, man. I mean, I like 20 years old. It's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing right now.
Yeah, we had a long talk.
It's absolutely
about
ridiculous. I'm not even going to go into my rant.
Well, he's just a super stud. Salary and his future contract.
I'm going to give him from what I've seen so far. I'm going to give him a B.
You're such an plus. Idiot.
B. I'm not even going to give him a B plus. I'm going to give him a B. He's been awesome. He's getting better each and every game that we watch this guy play. I'm laughing at myself for giving this guy a B because I think he like is going to be just ridiculous.
Such an idiot.
I am an idiot, but I just don't want to give him. The ceiling for this guy is higher than any player that
we have. Yeah, but we're not talking about his ceiling.
I am.
We're not talking about living up to the potential of his ceiling because of his age.
I am going to give him a B plus.
Oh, you've just gone up to a B plus. I bet you I can talk you into an A. How are you honestly going to say that with what you've seen of him at this age, you called him in yesterday's pod. You called him a rover. He shouldn't even have a position. It should be R. How are you going to say he's a B or then a B plus? What he's doing at 20 years old is all day worth an A. We're not talking about him at 21 or 22, 2 years in the league or 3 years. He's a rookie. He's a Calder Trophy discussion. He's in the discussion. How are you? Come on. You have 5 seconds before we move on to change your grade and give him an A that he deserves.
You know what? There's things he needs to work on. I'm dropping to a B minus. This guy is going to be literally an A the rest of his life. Everything he does is going to be an A. His shit season's still going to be an A. That's how good this guy is. That's how.
You just contradicted yourself right there because this is his rookie season, and
I'm not giving him an A. Okay. This guy's a stud. I love watching him. I love watching this guy, man.
Fuck me, man.
He's really good. He, in a couple years from now, when he just matures, just mentally, physically, emotionally, becomes more of a leader on this team, just everything about this guy exudes absolute raging superstar. And I love what he has done this year. I love what the coaching staff have done to make Owen Power's transition from D1 hockey to pro hockey. I just think he's incredible.
Matias Samuelson.
Major stud. Again, I'll give him a B plus. Had a rough night the other night against Carolina, but I mean, he has really, 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 really played well. You see what happened when he was out of the lineup. Every time he's out of the lineup, the Sabres, their winning percentage goes way down. You need players like him to win hockey games. Okay. He is calm, collected, massive man, massive reach, incredible defensive instincts, moves the puck well. Just love what this guy, this, 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 This signing's almost better than Tage Thompson's. I'm not kidding. People, shut up. I don't want to hear your, do not tweet me about Matias Samuels. You're crazy. Tage Thompson should be making $14 million. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you this. Kevin Adams should feel embarrassed that he signed Matias Samuel for this contract, because in a couple years, man, this contract is going to be laughable. Unbelievable contract, unbelievable player. I'm giving him a B+. I think he's done a really nice job in the job that he's given, and that's to play defense. He's awesome.
Rasmus Dahlin,
A+. Undeniable. I've said this in many podcasts, literally for I don't even know how long now. He has finally exploded onto the scenes. Point producer in his first, second, third, fourth year. He has exploded to being the player that we all were asking questions. Can he become this guy? Well, he is this guy now. If I get Rasmus Dahlin like this for the rest of his career, I am absolutely 1,000%, you know, happy with what we're going to get. We don't need any more. The ceiling has been hit. Like, he's not getting any better. Like, I don't see how you can get better. He's already controlling the game. Like, he is an absolute stud.
I didn't see this coming this year.
Either did I. I was hoping that he would inch a little bit closer to becoming a little bit better defender, and just more responsible. And he has just blown that right away. He's playing against the best players on the other team. He's on the ice for, I don't even know, 26 plus minutes a night, which is, I think, second in the NHL right now for minutes played for a player in the NHL. His power play points is second. His goals are second. He's nasty. He's literally the first overall pick. He's a dangly little superstar, and he's frigging crushing guys and cross-checking guys, and he's the first guy into the scrum. The guy is an absolute rock star. And I have not been able to say that for his first 4 years. His first 4 years were very impressive. He's always going to be able to produce points, but he has shown right now that he can be.
It's the overall game more than it is just the impressive movements.
Absolutely awesome. Awesome. A+.
His pucks from the point, they're finding the net, they're finding holes. He's just, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know what to expect. You know, we talked about him before the season, and, you know, we're saying, you know, about how he needs to have a big year so the Sabres can extend him with 1 year left on his deal. And he's put the Sabres in a very interesting position. And the goalies. How would you rate the goalies? Let's start with Eric Comrie. Tough to give him a grade?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he walked in here very early on, really played well in a couple games, and then kind of went on a little bit of a downturn. But that was in that time where the team was really trying to find themselves. They were on that bad losing streak. It's really tough to give him a grade right now because his season's been so broken up. So I'm not even going to grade him. I will say this, that I'm happy that he's here. Happy that, you know, that we have a goaltender like him and his abilities here. But I really don't want to give him a grade because I just feel it would be unfair.
Okay.
But I'm certainly not unhappy with him.
Oh, no. How could you be? Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
I mean, he has done a nice job of taking advantage of his opportunity that he's been given here with the injury to Comrie. You know, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been a guy that has played a few years in the minors. He's taken the opportunity to season himself in the minors for a few years. And he's hungry. He's hungry to make the jump to the NHL. I think that he has done a nice job with his opportunity. That being said, you're only as good as your last game is the mentality with goaltenders. We need him to be a guy that is an every night guy that he goes in, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to win the game because that's how good he is. And he needs to be consistent in his game. Now, I know he's still young. He's only 23, but he's done a nice job this year. He's 20, you know, he's played 20 games. He hasn't played a whole lot of games either, but, you know, I will happily give him a B.
Okay. And goaltending is an interesting situation here. I mean, forget about what they have in Devon Levi and all that, but after this year, if Anderson leaves, you have Comrie on a 1 year remainder next year, and you have UPL on 1 year. Your goaltending total next year, if you run with Comrie and UPL, $2.6375 million for your total goaltending.
Yeah, so you're paying absolute peanuts.
So it makes me wonder if they're going to go and look for a goalie with 3 or 4 years left, like Thatcher Demko. I mean, there's a conversation there. I think he's got a few years left on his contract at $5 million or $5.5 million bucks. So, I mean, his name's been tossed around because Vancouver is, you know, cleaning house, right? So,
yeah,
there's talks of a lot of.
Well, I don't know. You know, I think the Sabres. I think Kevin Adams is pleased with, you know, or having the confidence to go with a, let's just say next year with a UPL. And I think Comrie is still continuing to solidify himself as one of the top goaltenders here, the number one. So you're going to see guys play at a very high level the rest of the year. I am not, I'll just say this right now, I am not a fan of the three goaltending thing here. I shouldn't say it's an issue because I don't know what's behind closed doors and the conversations that have been had, but I'm not a fan of having three goaltenders on a roster.
All right, Craig Anderson.
I mean, what are you going to say? He's in every single game that he plays confident. He gives his team a chance to win. The attitude of just his maturity and his age. He is just another player. He's just ultimately, like, you know, another older veteran guy that you just want. When things are tough, you want guys like this in your lineup that can just calm things down. And that's a major, major reason why he's here with the Sabres.
Bring him back next year.
You know, listen, I mean, Craig Anderson is world-class, and I don't know, you know, the discussions that Kevin Adams and Craig have had. That being said, you know, he's 41 years old. I mean, there's a point in time that you need to give other goaltenders opportunity to take the reins, because you don't know what level that those guys can get to if they don't have an opportunity. By bringing back Craig Anderson, you're taking away an opportunity to see if one of those guys can really elevate their game. I would expect that he wouldn't be back, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, because he's been so good while he's been here. You know, he's served every purpose that he's been here, and be interesting to see. But goaltending is probably one of the biggest question marks going into the off season. Levi's not ready, and Portillo's probably leaving.
And I certainly the last thing I'm going to say is, you brought it up, and it kind of slipped under the radar. There is Vancouver Canucks are looking to make moves. And Thatcher Demko, who's a clear number one in this league, is a very, and I mean a very, very interesting goaltender. And right now, I could see Kevin Adams doing something, what I would be considered crazy, because he's been so close to his, keeps things close to his chest, that just think about bringing in a clear-cut number one goaltender in the league, what that would do for this team. I think it would do a lot.
Hold on one sec. I just want to look one thing up.
You're looking at how much he's making?
No, I know he makes $5 million. I'm looking at... Oh, never mind.
What?
Oh, he grew up in California. Okay.
Dude, he makes $5 million. He's 27 years old. He makes $5 million.
Let's talk some coaches. Let's give the coaches a grade overall.
A. Easily.
Yeah.
I'm I'm really happy with what I've seen from those guys. You know, you just look at all of them and you honestly, that's what society is about, is trying to find faults, trying to find where they went wrong so we can write an article or talk about them and shit on them. And Marty Wilfert's been an absolute, I don't know what the hell he's doing back there with those D, but they look really, really good. And they're super insanely young. And he's done a nice job with those guys. And, you know, Christy and Matt Ellis have done fantastic job with these forwards, with, you know, continuing to develop these guys, gain confidence, watching probably tons of video. And Don Granato, I think, is awesome. I think he's done a really nice job. And there's going to be a point in time, because every coach goes through it, that you're shitting on him and you're going to say his time's up. His time's far from up with this organization. I think Don Granato has done an incredible job building an unbelievable environment with a bunch of young kids and gaining these guys confidence. And we're going to get to see what Don Granato is all about as this team continues to mature and take strides up the ladder to be an elite team. And I think Don will be able to coach a little bit differently. Instead of this, you know, I'm developing, he can kind of shoot the whip a little bit more and say, listen, the guys that are going to work every single night are the ones that are going to play.
Yeah, listen, I think he's done a great job. I was very skeptical of what he was capable of doing. Last year, it's easy to ask to take a team that has nothing to lose and just roll players and give them a chance to play and have no real pressure to succeed. So at one point I said he's an inexpensive experiment. And at the time I believed that, because at the time it seemed like the Sabres were going El Cheapo on everything. They fired everybody. Yep. They didn't want to spend any money. And, you know, it was almost kind of like, you know, they did a half-assed coaching search, maybe now, because they felt they had the guy all along. It just never seemed serious to me. It never seemed like it was about hiring the right guy. It was about hiring the cheapest guy. That was my impression of where the team was going at that time.
Rightfully so.
Thank you for
right
that.
Right way to thank. Yep.
Thank you for that.
I agree with all that.
You know, I just, nothing personal. It's just, that's just how I saw it. And I never felt like there was a much of a, that presence, you know, like a Lindy Ruff presence or a Tortorella presence or a Rick Tocchet presence. Mm-hmm. And maybe you don't need that anymore to know if he was the right guy to turn the ship around. Who can ever tell? But he's done that. He has proven me wrong.
Yep.
He's proven a lot of people wrong. The job is not done, by the way. His job is only actually going to get harder now. So it's, and that's not me trying to escape, you know, and kind of buy time. He's obviously a damn fine hockey coach.
And well, he's coached in every league.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens when he gets veteran players in here that he's not familiar with. And you can't just keep surrounding him with familiar players. Eventually you're going to have to give him players like a Timo Meier that may not be familiar with him. Or, you know, we talked about Jordan Greenway, but he has played for Don Granato at the NTDP. So other players coming in and playing under him, that and being able to get those players to play and beat the top tier teams, that's the next phase of the coaching challenge. But in order for building morale, confidence, developing skill, and developing hockey players and putting a real team on the ice, he has absolutely done an exceptional job.
You know, I was vocal at the start of the year that I knew this group was going to be really, really young. Okay. And they were going to go through their ups and downs. And when you are gifted, basically some of these players that have been landing on their lap because the team's been so bad for so long, you need to start to surround these young players with some veteran leadership. And I thought that Kevin Adams would have gone out and made a couple moves, kind of like the Red Wings, right? The Red Wings went out and got a few guys to insert into their lineup that were older guys, that just veteran guys that are really good around the young kids. Kevin Adams chose not to do that. He told he wants to stand pat. He wants to allow, not take ice time away from the young players. And back months ago before the season. And I was just not really interested in hearing that. Okay. So I was a little bit disappointed. Fast forward 50 games, and I can totally understand and see the vision of what Kevin was trying to do. Allow these young players to go through a long, demanding season, something that a lot of these players have not done before. And he stuck to his guns. And I think he's done a nice job by doing nothing.
Yeah, he really hasn't. Well, he had
picked up Tyson Jost, which great. You know what
he gave? You know, he needed a body. He didn't have anybody in Rochester to bring up.
Yep.
They're all here. So, and that's not his problem. I mean, he has a bunch of first rounders that he'll be able to stockpile. But for me, you know, at the start of the year, I probably would have said a C because I was unsure about the Tage extension. I was unsure about the Don Granato extension. I was very unsure about the Matias Samuelson extension. But I think, you know, those two players have proven to be worthy of those extensions and exceeding those extensions. Don Granato is obviously succeeding under his extension. I think his true grade will come when I see what he can get for Casey Mittelstadt, see what he can get for Victor Olofsson, see what he does with Rasmus Asplund. And I think the final grade comes for Kevin after the draft, right? Because he needs to unload players.
Yeah. You know, to give him a mark right now, he's literally knocked an absolute grand slam in both signings with Tage Thompson and Samuelson. Absolute grand slam. That doesn't mean I'm just going to automatically give him an A. I think those are really good jobs with getting.
I was thinking B plus.
I was thinking B. Yeah. Let's, Kevin's work is going to be, you know, his difficult work is going to be keeping the structure of that salary cap intact when he has to sign a Rasmus Dahlin that's having the season that he's having now, trying to figure out what you do with Owen Power and how much you're going to have to pay him. The Dylan Cousins is going to want a lot of money. And if you can get him under the right contract, I think that's going to be beneficial. There's a lot of guys that need to sign. He's going to be a very, very busy man this summer.
If Kevin gets Doug Cousins to a $7 million or 7 point,
I think you could be, I think, to be honest with you, I think that, Dylan Cousins could be, maybe more of a 6 year deal, could be a little bit less money, into the $6.5 million range. If you can get something like that done with him, I think it would be very beneficial for the team and for Dylan, because then he would be, finished the contract at age 28 and be able to sign another somewhat sizable deal. So I think you have to kind of work with the player, but I don't want to see Dylan Cousins in a number of around eight, like all those other freaking guys like Norris and Thomas and Kyrou and Stitzel. They all exceeded their numbers, but they're also first line players on their team. Well, Dylan Cousins is considered a second line player on his team. So that market for him is not going to be the same. He'll probably hopefully be around $6.5 million, maybe $7 million.
Those grades were all very generous for a team that's not in the playoff spot, but I think you look at where they stand.
Yeah.
26, 20, and 4 in 50 games, 56 points, one point out of a playoff spot behind Pittsburgh, 4 points behind the Capitals with 3 games in hand. There's a reason for that. So its second half is going to be huge for this team. Tage Thompson's health is going to be huge for this team. Thanks for listening, everyone. That's a wrap on another episode of After the Whistle. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, After the Whistle, and at Craig Reve 52, at The Instigator 76. And you can find us, as you already know, on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube, and anywhere else where you can get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to spread the word.